Last week, it was being established in God's love by sharing Him. And literally, it's best to share God by sharing His love, right? Matter of fact, I'd like to begin on kind of an ending truth from last week. A truth on sharing. God does not call the equipped. God does not call the equipped. No, instead, God's in the habit of equipping whom? Those who He's called, yes. And there's an important difference in the order of things there, isn't it? Yes, He calls you and He equips you then as to how you are called. And as Christians, we are called to share Jesus Christ, right? As Christians, we are called to share God. And we are called to share Him by sharing what He has done in our lives. First and foremost, share what He has done for us. And why has He done that? He has done what He has done, offered His Son to us to die in our place, in our stead, for our salvation, because He loves us. He has done it out of His love. And so that's what we share. We share what He has done, but we also, most importantly, share the reason that He did it, right? He loved us, and He continues to love us, and He equips us with that love through and by loving us. Because He has loved us, sent His Son Jesus, Jesus died for our sins, and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, who is it that we also receive within? His Holy Spirit. And so, yes, He is there. We are equipped to share His love. And that's the best thing and the best way to share God. How many of you are really comfortable with teaching and preaching the gospel to others? You don't really have to show your hands, because I know even coming up here, and if you say that you're comfortable with it, it's because you have forced yourself into being so, right? It is not easy, especially to those in this world who do not believe that there is such hope in their life. No, that's not easy at all. And so what's much easier is to share His love, right? And you know what? It's also more effective than your words. Interestingly enough, as you share your words, a lot of you get in the way when you share your words, right? Because we stumble across words. Words are hard for many of us. But a hug is hard to mess up. It really is. And sharing His love is a lot harder to mess up. Last week we looked at the last words of Jesus Christ. They're written right up there on the wall. We don't want anyone to forget them. The last words of Jesus, at command of Jesus. We are to go and we are to make disciples of all nations. Sharing our faith is not just a suggestion by God. It is what? It's a command. And how do we show that we love God? Obeying His, doing what He says, obeying His commands, right? You show me you love me by doing what I've asked you to do, doing what I've told you to do. So that's the best way, is to obey His command, to live a godly life, the life that He desires us to live. The way we do that best is to live a life of love. Live a life of agape love. Is that not what Jesus did when He was on earth? Every minute of the day, He was able to do that. How? Because He was connected with God, totally. He was equipped by God, totally. Non-Christians often look at Christians as hypocritical because we say one thing, we love God, and we do another, not love God. And so, yes, they have a right to question us, right? Our words are not backed up by our actions. So it's hypocritical. We say we love God, but we don't show God's love. We don't do what He has asked us, commanded us to do. We show those close to us that we care by spending time with them, helping to meet their needs, offering to listen, listen when they have problems. No, we might not be able to answer all of their questions. Matter of fact, I guarantee you will not be able to answer all of their questions. But they can't deny the reality of what Christ has done in your life. Amen? Especially if you let it there to be, or let it out to be seen, that everybody can see it. Another important part of sharing of faith is to pray for those that you interact with. That makes it easier as well. Not just praying for you, pray for them and their hearts, right? We need to reflect Christ through kind words, through patience, through prayer, through, a tender temperament, where we are choosing to love, even choosing to love difficult people. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice we make daily. And at the same time, yes, people do need to hear the gospel. But they have to hear it if it's backed up only by the same actions. If you can't do it, don't say it, is essentially it. Do not be hypocritical, which means our primary responsibility is to live for God, right? To live for God. And more people will see those with their two eyes than hear you with their two ears. And that's the important way. Romans 10:13-14. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody telling them? Well, by somebody showing them as well. Amen. Here's five things to remember about sharing Jesus Christ. Number one, understand that our own lives are the greatest part of our witness. Our lives are the greatest part of our witness, not our words. Our words, if they express that life, yes. Number two, realize that we earn the right to be heard by first sincerely listening to others. And again, Jesus is our best example. Everyone has a story. Before you blurt out yours, listen to theirs. Listen to theirs. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. He's our example. Be a friend. Listen to people. See where they are. Then show them where they need to go through your life. The fact that you have learned the same thing. Recognize, number three, that people are looking for a cure. When we go to a doctor, we don't say, "Doc, I have cancer." What do we say? "Doc, I have a pain here." We express our symptoms, right? When we listen to people, that's what we hear. We hear the symptoms. They know, actually, deep down in their heart, what their ailment is. They don't want to admit it. It's for us just to make sure that they fully realize not what they have as far as sin is concerned, but fully realize the cure, and that it is the same cure that cured you as well, that cured us, right? Number four, keep it simple. The gospel is already simple. Christ came to earth because God loved us. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. Don't complicate it by throwing in other things that your denomination says you have to throw in, or other doctrines that you feel you have to put in there, or some religious terminology. No. As a matter of fact, again, less words, more actions. Less words, more actions. Keep it real simple. And lastly, love as God loves. And that's the true secret. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life with him. James 1:26-27. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, normally we think that as being a harsh tongue, right? Because he goes on and says, yeah, that tongue, man, that can set a forest aflame, right? But what if he's actually saying something like, hey, if your words don't match up with your actions, your religion is worthless? Because essentially, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Religion that is pure and that is undefiled before God the Father, is this: to act in his love, to visit orphans and widows, the least of mine, in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. All that we're talking about this morning is going to be, or is exemplified, is personalized in a couple that we have that we will bring up here in just a minute. Matter of fact, why don't you come up right now? Pastor Joel and Sister Rosamond. Come on, Sister Rosamond. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joel. He is the pastor in Haiti for United Hearts Haiti. The last time that I had the privilege of sharing a pulpit with him was in your church. But these two are the prime example of what we've been talking about this morning. Sharing God by sharing literally his love, and to the least of his people. So I want Joel to spend the first portion of this, if you would, and Sister Rosamond, to let us know what your ministry is. Let us know about your church, all right? Before we blend it into then how you and Darlene got together and United Hearts of Haiti, let's hear God's heart.
Thank you.
From yours.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to be here with you this morning. It's a privilege God accorded us. First of all, I would like to talk about, we have a small church. We can call it like a home church. And the home church, this is where the people gather together. And what we do in the home church, every Sunday we have, Sister Joel have a Bible class, and Sister Joel lead praise and worship. This is what we do. And every Sunday also, every Sunday night, we have a praise and worship. And Wednesday, we have a Bible study. And every Friday, we have a prayer time. And sometime also, from the member of the church, we have service outside to encourage them. And after that, what we do, we invite people. For example, Pastor Wong can preach in our church. It's an extraordinary message. God really used him. And after that, we have Sister Jenny. She shared something too in our church. So the church kind of small, but we pray the Lord can open doors. And now, new to the house, we have we build a new built church. It's a small church, really blocks, but we don't cover the house yet. And we pray by faith, God will provide, so we can cover it. And after that, we have other ministry. What we do, like we have Sister Joel. She's the one who she have a Bible class. Teach children how to do that. She do like sanitary, and she teach them also verses and songs from the Bible. And the same children, they form in the community where we live. And after that, Sister Joel, what we do with them, for example, every Easter, like Easter time, in December, we serve them a meal. And December, we give them a gift. We make a party with them. While we do all those things, and to show them the love of Christ. And sometimes we take them also to the ocean, and we play with them. We spend time with them. And God called us to do all those things. And sometimes every Saturday, Sister Joel, they come to our place, and Sister Joel train them, Sister Joel give them snack, and Sister Joel play with them, other kind of plays, like play ball. They enjoy And when Sister Joelle start with the Bible club, she start with 10 children. And now Sister Joelle have 35 children. So every day, more children coming. More children. And we hope we can try a certain age. Some of them have 10 years. Some of them have 11, 12. Some of them have 3 years. Because what they do, they don't want to leave their sister and their brothers at home. And they take them. They come. They spend a good time together. And after that, we still continue to do the same things. So when we go back to Haiti, maybe she will have more. She will have more children. But it's okay. We do all those things for Christ, for the kingdom of God. And after that, myself, I would like to talk about the United Heart. What, as a director, what I do in United Heart Ministry. Myself, what I exactly do, and I distribute sponsorship monies to the families. When I distribute the sponsorship money, and after that, I distribute food also to them. And when I continue to do that for the Lord, and the Lord really bless me. And not only distribute money, and sometimes I visit them too, I visit families to see their need, what they really need. Because sometimes they need people to talk to them. They need encouragement. They need someone to pray, to talk to them, to give them hope. What I do again, especially when Sister Darlene is not there, and I continue to do the same things, visit families, give them water. We have a family in National Road, another family, to Foba. We give her water. And not only her, and when I distribute the water, we have neighbors from in the community. They come and they ask him for some water. Can I have a bucket of water? And I give them water too. Because where they live, they don't have a well, they don't have water. Sometimes they wait for when it's raining time so they can catch some water. And sometimes it's a dry season. When they are in dry season, it's really difficult for them so they can have water. And I would like to talk about Sister Joelle also, what she do. She visit the orphanages once a week. When she visit them, before she start myself, I always pray with the children. While she do that, I pray. Before she start, I pray with them, and I teach them verses and songs. Oh, they're really happy when I do that with them, play with them, laughing with them. And Sister Joelle nursing them, taking care of them. She take temperature. She find out if she's okay. And she even got sometimes give them a medicine, worm medicine, something like that. And after that, once a month, Sister Joelle accompanies me so we can see the families also. To see them, to check them, if they're okay when I deliver sponsorship money and sponsorship money and give them food. So the Lord really, really bless us in what we do. And we continue to do the same thing, Sister Joelle, taking care of them. If they hurt, she put medicine. She give them like a first aid. And as a director, we have a home base. This is where what I do in the home base. I taking care of. I visiting the yard men who work in who clean and Sister Darlene's house, the home base. And after that, while I'm over there, someone can come and knock on the door. They asking for help. If you can help the person. As the director, and I teach also people to do like carpentry class, teach them how to do things. God bless me with a gift to do like carpentry construction. Put door, make door, make frame, make bunk beds. So God bless me with 6 children from the orphanage. So I teach them all to make the carpentry. I can say it's a blessing. While I do all those things, I give them also, share them the word of God. And not only carpentry, I know something about plumbing. When something breaks in the home base, I'm trying to fix it. Instead of calling another person to fix it. And after that, I do a lot of things in the ministry. I think when Sister Darlene come, when Sister Darlene will tell you more about the ministry. May God bless you.
There are some things Pastor Joel hasn't mentioned that he does for me. Pastor Joel here is repairing a solar, helping us fill our solar panels as well. He's an all-around handyman. But Pastor Joel's heart is to serve, and he does it with all his heart. He drives us anywhere, including over a river. And if he can't drive the truck through the river, he walks barefoot through the river to go see the orphanages that we need to see. He is a dedicated servant of God. He also checks on them for needing repairs, anything else that needs to be done. The next slide shows him up on the tall ladder, way up high, repairing their solar light so they can see in the dark, because that's all they had for light, is that solar light. He loves to drive the kids to the beach. And he takes them around. He also drives me around with my friends. I've had him drive my friends around without me there. So, Pastor Joel has such a servant heart that I've seen him doing random acts of kindness as well. This little guy was all by himself. Look at all the bags on that donk, that horse. All this rice was going down the road in front of us, and the bags started slipping. And this kid's trying to keep it together, and he could not keep him on there. So Joel stops, and he actually helped the kid rebag all everything, strap it on tight so the kid could go. It was just, it's his heart, a servant of God. When I first met Pastor Joel, him and his wife lived in one room with their 5 children in her sister-in-law's, in her sister's home. Now he has a beautiful, livable home because he has dedicated himself to make that house a beautiful home, and he's done so. He's worked hard to do that. Unfortunately, hey, has anybody heard about the tropical storm that hit Haiti? No, neither did I, until his children called him while he's here visiting, saying, "We had a tropical storm, Dad. And the trees blew down our wall. They blew down the trees and it knocked the wall down." So, unfortunately, this exposes his family to insecure living right now. And there's nothing he can do about it because he's here with us. It's going to cost us about $400 to repair this wall so that he can secure his family again. So if you would please pray for the kids right now. Just pray for protection for them, because they're older, they're mature, they're teenagers, they're adults, but they need safety and protection right now. So now let me tell you a little bit about United Hearts ministry itself. What we do is we assist orphanages and families to improve the lives of the children in their care. We've come alongside Haitian-run orphanages, and they do the work. We come alongside and help them. We will help them, for example, with clean water. We bring filtration systems in. We will help them with proper sleeping arrangements. If they need beds, we raise the funds and we get some beds in there. We provide schooling. We give them tuition, uniforms, books. I bring in backpacks and supplies for the children. The families get the same care. We try to help them get the kids into school. We try and sponsor families to provide medical, physical care for their children. We do clothing distribution. We assist with medical needs. Pastor Joel will drive any hour of the night. He will get calls at 2 in the morning saying, "Hey, my wife's in labor. Can you get us to the hospital?" This little guy was a preemie. He had to take him from one hospital to a pediatric hospital to keep this baby in a medical care facility that could handle preemies. Now that little guy, 4 months later, he's one chunk, I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. So we also do tools of the trade. And what we help is those who have a need that are working, that just maybe they just need the tools to do the job. Well, this is Claudel, our mechanic. He didn't have the tools to do the job. He was always borrowing what he could out of me. We got him a nice set of tools, so he actually has his own shop now, and that's awesome. I want to tell you about this next guy. Okay, he came knocking at the gate. He says, "My fishing line broke." He had a fishing net. He says, "I need about 500 goots to repair my fishing net." I said, "Okay." So I gave him the money, and I said, "Bring me a fish next time you catch one." He comes back, and he says, "I didn't catch any fish. Will lobster do?" Let me think about that. Sure. So this has been a blessing for us because we are ministering in this way in the name of Jesus. And they know our love for Jesus because when we give them that 500 goods to fix his net, we tell them, "This isn't from me. This is from Jesus." Our big project right now is we need to repair this old building to make it livable for one of our orphanages, Kai Timun. We did manage to get a new roof on it. This last team we had came and helped build this roof, Pastor Joel, and we had a few others doing it. They built a beautiful roof for this thing. We still got work to do on the house, and our next big project will be making toilets for them. We try to sponsor families to keep their children in their homes. These two little ones, just before I left, my neighbor came to me and said, "Can you help me with these children?" He's their uncle. The parents died. He took them on. He's like, "I don't have the finances to do this." So we're trying to get sponsorship for these two kids. And we do this regularly. I'm just glad he didn't say, "Can we put them in one of your orphanages?" Because that is what we don't want. We want kids to be with family. Now, if you want to come help, we'll give you a ride in our big bus. It seats 15 people. We got them all in this one. Driven all the way from California and shipped to Haiti. When you come, you can help us repair more of that old building. You can help us clear the land. You can sort clothing. Or you can teach measure little tiny feet. You can teach CPR like Pastor Ron did, or you can do any other teaching you might want to do. You can assist with food preparations. You can sew on the floor. Bonus is, you will get 2 fans if you sew on the floor. We'll help. You can help us sort backpacks and pack up supplies. You can walk the open market with us. You can swim in the ocean, but if you do, you got to take orphans with you. You can play cards or dominoes in the off times. You can even play chicken limbo. Or have a dance party in the living room. You can ride in the back of our truck with a loaded down with tools. Or he can take a much needed nap. These guys did that well. But seriously, come, meet our community, share the love of Jesus. You just might bring someone to know Christ. Let me tell you the story of Estelle. These three women, we were this group, we had a discipleship training school go around, and what they did, they took Gospels of John written in Creole, they took audio Bibles that spoke Creole, and they went in the neighborhoods. Sometimes they took a little food, sometimes they took toiletries with them, and they just went to the neighbors. They just went around our community and said, hey, hi, how can we pray for you? And they would tell them their needs. They'd pray for them. This lady, she couldn't read. She needed some help. I believe they gave her a little bit of food. And they left an audio Bible with her. When they came back, it was really on their hearts, this lady. And they prayed for this woman every day, every day. So a week later, they're doing this again. And they said, can we go back to her house? And I said, sure. They went back and they talked to her. And she said, I've been listening to that Bible every day. And at night, I go to sleep with it. And she said, I want to know who this Jesus is. So they shared Jesus with her. And she's walking with the Lord now. And they introduced her to someone who can get her to church. And so she now knows the Lord. That's what we do. Our whole ministry is based on that. Colossians 2:2 says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And that's what we do. And I think Scott's got something to share with you.
Come on. There it is. Hi, everybody. How y'all today? Good. I love this woman. She makes me really happy. Let me ask you a question. Do you have grandkids or children that live off the island at all? Relatives, that type of thing? You have those? You have some of those? And when you're far away from them, how do you communicate with them? What do you do? Send them a letter? Send some pictures? What do we got nowadays? Text, FaceTime. And the neat part is, I mean, I've got 9 grandkids. The neat part is doing sending letters and texting and FaceTiming and sending pictures. It's just like being there. Yeah, I don't even have to No. Hold it. That isn't quite true, is it? You know, it's not quite true. We can show you all these pictures. We can tell you about the experiences. Ron, you took years before you came and joined us. I've yet to drag John there. I'm working on that. But Ron, just if you had to sum it up very quickly, how, as a pastor of many years and somebody who's years old, how impacting was this trip on you? You see, what we do in the world is all about what Christ has created in us. It's family and it's teamwork. Teamwork. It's us working together. And the first part of teamwork is that you participate in the team. You ever been on a team where the one guy just doesn't participate? Play baseball, football, whatever it might be. Someone who doesn't do their part within it. The Riley's daughter, Marissa, is going to come live here this year, and she's 8th grade. She's a killer soccer player, okay? But she can't yet be on the high school team because at her level in the 8th grade, She can't do it. But she's so excited because Andrew said, I'll make you a trainer. So she's able to be out there in the practices and work with the kids during that time. And you know, she's just so excited about that. Because even though she's not able to be right there in the game, she is right there preparing for the game. And I was talking to her, and she's just like, I love soccer. I got to get out there, and I got to do it. Well, we've been taking people out there. Gail, I'm going to start running through some of these pictures that I should have lined up in there. And Darlene, let's talk about some of these people. Buzzy.
Buzzy is amazing. This woman has come to Haiti more times than anybody, I think. She has such a heart, and she is so precious. She was a teacher, and so her heart is to teach. But she comes there and just loves on the Haitian people.
And, you know, if you're feeling too old to go to Haiti, talk to Buzzy. Okay.
She'd probably kill me, but she's almost in her 80s. Yes.
And, of course, I hope you recognize these two.
Susie and Carly came. Susie came a couple times.
Yeah. And they were there during Buzzy's time, too, I think.
Yes, so, yes, they were there with Buzzy.
Yeah, I believe we're all kind of gathered. Mm-hmm. That's Sam, who was kind of the founder of everything that we're doing here.
Yes.
And this is my best buddy in the world over there, well, next to Joel. He's a bear of a man, to say the least.
It's Sammy right here.
That's Sammy right on the end. You got to meet Sammy this last trip, Ron. He is literally a bear of a man, isn't he? Yes.
But it's a teddy bear, soft.
Yeah, it's big
teddy
bear.
He's a pastor now. And Caitlin and Caitlin came. They've been there.
So, yeah, we had a great time. We had a great time with them. And there you go.
There we are, loving on them kiddos.
Yeah, which is what they do very, very well in any situation. Yes.
And Jen came. And then this is my friend Carlin. And
all ages, all sizes.
All ages, all sizes. This is Carol and Tatiana. They are from Cyprus area. There we are. And this is, this young man is Tim Yukin, and this is Hillary. They came and did a bunch of photo shoot and a video for us a long time ago, and they were just precious. They are great hearts.
I just noticed I'm getting my hair combed.
You're getting
your
hair done. When you had hair, you got your hair.
I remember that. I had hair.
And this is Terry and Sue Warren, random people I met. I actually met them in Haiti through another ministry, and they said, we want to come and join you sometime. And they did, and they now actually sponsor a family to put all their kids through school. There we are again, Pastor Paul, and this is Terry and Carol. These two are best friends, and she says, I can bring my friend along. So she brought her friend along, and her Pastor Paul. And this is the middle guy you might have met, Jeff Pratt.
Yes.
And you might know this guy over
here.
Do you know this guy? His name's Daniel. But these other two people, those three people, there are the heads of YWAM Axiom. They came to see our ministry because they now support us as far as on their website. They tell their ministry people, hey, if you want to go to Haiti, here's a person that's there on the ground. Come in.
Hey, darling, where are you guys sitting right now?
We're at a resort.
That's one of the treats you get if you come. We try
treats
and take
you
it
get,
to one
yes,
of the
you get to go to a resort. Go to the beach.
And every resort there is at least a 2-star.
Yeah. And there's my sister Joan and Trula, my friend. They came. And who else came? Lots of people came. They actually got to go have dinner with their sponsors, sponsored kids. If you sponsor a child, you can come, and we will bring them to the house, and you can have lunch with them, and you can have fun with them. These also came to see their sponsor children. Mm-hmm. This is Mark and Nikki. And this
Mark
is
helped me install my
first solar
thing
system,
that I ever did. Yeah.
And this is Shannon and her mom, Judy. They came to see their sponsor children. And this is a young team that came. This is Raya, Janice, and a few other there. There's a group, the whole group of them right there. And this is Caitlin brought this youth group.
A couple of the triplets.
Yeah.
There's
Susanna Savitt. And this group is from Harbor Trinity Church. This is Rod and his wife, Lee. I have a place on the island now.
And Gail, we'll hold it this picture, and this was our latest team to come. This was the YWAM BTS, our first YWAM BTS.
Yep.
And, you know, I recognize that some of you feel like you couldn't possibly do this. I understand that misconception. I really do, because I had that same misconception. Last place in the world I wanted to go was Haiti. I told God I'd go anywhere in the world but Haiti or Africa. That was my deal.
He did do that.
Send me wherever you want.
He told God that.
That worked out really well for me. But you know what you can do for us? We're dedicated out there, okay? This woman is nuts, okay? She spends half the year out there now. I wave at her a lot and say goodbye. I'll see you in a while. If you don't have a way to go yourself, help someone get there. If you've got a connection to an Overtown church where they might be able to hear of what we're doing, please connect us, okay? If you know of young people that are going into like a YWAM school or they're saying we need help to get into a DTS, help them, okay? Because if you can't go yourself, the next best thing is to send someone in your name. You know, Jesus didn't go out and change the lives of billions of people all by himself. He went out and changed the lives of 12 men. And untold numbers. I love the way John kind of ends up. He says, if I could tell you all the stories about Jesus, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. But I'd fill volumes and volumes of books of what he did. And see, the volumes are still being filled every time we go out. We can turn it. Give me the next slide, Gail. I hope I know where I'm at. I get lost really easy. Oh, how did I end up back in Chicken Limbo?
Hey, if you come, you can play Chicken Limbo.
Yeah, it's really fun. It squawks at you when you go under it. Okay. So what I can ask you to do is I can ask you to participate. But primarily, is there anyone here that does not know how to pray? Raise your hand really high for me. I mean, every one of you can pray? Every one of you can pray. All right, well, here's how to connect with us to find out how to pray. You can go on to Facebook, and if you go on to Facebook, you will find either United Hearts Haiti or United Hearts Haiti Group, okay? So if you go to either one of those, Darlene, while she's in Haiti, she will post various things. It might look something like this. Oh, speaking of that, how is little Christy doing?
She is still a surgeon to arrive in Haiti to get the proper medical care that she needs, unfortunately.
She had a colostomy, is that correct?
She had a colostomy, and unfortunately, we had complications later with it, and so they were concerned about her getting sepsis, but she's on medication to prevent that. But we need either her to come to the U.S. to get the medical care or a surgeon to come into Haiti that can do the right work. And unfortunately, right now, we haven't found anyone.
Let me ask again, how many of you know how to pray? All of you? Let's do that right now. Father, we're going to lift Christy before you. And this little girl, since the moment I heard about her, born without the ability to eliminate her waste. Father, she's been in my heart so much. And Lord, just as we all are sitting here, please hear the voices, hear the thoughts, hear the prayers that we lift before you for this little girl, that the medical care that she needs will be provided, that the ongoing needs that she will have, as she has now been given a colostomy bag, but it's so easy in the U.S. for things like that, but it's so, so difficult there. Lord, just make provision for this little girl. Give her health. Let her be a walking miracle. And let her one day be testifying to the great and glorious things that you've done for her. Hear us now, Lord, as we pray for Christy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have gathered together as two or three, Lord. who have heard our prayers. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. See, that's not hard to do, is it? It's really not hard to do once you meet a little Christy. It's really not hard to do. That's why you got to go there. Go ahead. Give me the next one. If you got a Facebooker, let us know. You put an email thing out there, didn't you?
I have a paper out there. You can put your name and email address out there, and I will send you email prayer requests. We appreciate your prayers very much.
If you don't do email, put your text down there, and we'll make sure it gets texted to you.
Yeah, yes, I can text.
I can do that, too. Go back. Run away on you there. This is our website, which we need a new webmaster because it's
You can pray
crazy.
For that. But our website, I haven't been able to keep up myself.
You can find prayer requests on there, but the reason I wanted to stop here for a minute. This is where Darlene explains on UnitedHeartsHaiti.org. She explains the sponsor, and she explains what it is to sponsor a child. Sponsor a child means $25 a month to providing a child with loving care and a chance to grow into an adult who may someday have an influence on his or her community or even the country. Child care sponsor assists in providing a child with food, housing, and medical care. As a sponsor, you'll have the opportunity to write your child, send simple gifts, and pray for your child. You'll receive updates on your child, and if your child is capable of writing, you may receive a letter in return. Your child will be praying for you. Now, the education sponsorship of $30 a month assists in providing a child with tuition, curriculum, and uniform to go to school. Did you know Avalon's starting uniforms this year? Did you hear about that? Haiti requires uniforms. if it's a government school, if it's practically any of the big, public school, and you know how much tuition did you pay for your kids in public school here? Nothing, because it was public, right? Not so in Haiti. You're still paying tuition. How much did you have to pay for the books? Well, unless they lost them, you didn't pay anything. But if you're in Haiti, even in government-run schools, you're paying for the books. So the amazing part to me is $30 a month, let's do the math, $360, will provide tuition, books, and uniform. And I like the way you put it, for the younger kids, they can even get like their toiletries and some of their undergarments and stuff. And we can still accomplish that with $30 a month. So keep that in mind. Now, the last one is sponsor a family, and this is the one that's so important to me. I don't know, 50, 60, 70% of the kids that are orphanages are economic orphans. They probably only have one parent, or they've lost both parents, or you might even have two, although that's not as common of a case. And there's an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or somebody that's trying to care for them, but the money's just not there. And so they end up coming. We've literally found a single mom with a couple kids standing outside of the door of one of the orphanages asking, "Can you take my children? We can't feed them." See, if we can take and we can go to a family and we can bring them a food box and $25 a month, okay? $25 a month, okay? It's a meal for two down at Coney, okay? $25 a month. We'll take care of that family, okay? You know, you can participate, you can pray, and you can pledge. And this is what I'm asking you right now, okay? I'm asking you to pray. I'm urging you to participate. But I'm the guy in this church that also asks for money, okay? And so I'm asking for it. I'm telling you, I'm being plain and simple and easy. I'm not asking for ourselves or anything else. I'm asking in that case. Prayerfully do it. Don't just throw money at it. I'd rather have your body than I would your money, okay? Bring yourself there before you just throw money at it. But Haiti's changed over time. They're just like us. You know, we have inflation, and supposedly our incomes get adjusted for inflation. Let me show you a little bit of Haiti. Run, okay. In 2012, one U.S. dollar, that's when we started sponsorships, was 40 goods. Now one U.S. dollar, 95 goods, okay? So for a Haitian coming at it from the other side, It takes 95 goods to buy a dollar's worth of goods, where it used to just take $40 to buy it. 40 goods. This kind of, I found this inflation chart. You know, this was back in August, and you can see how it started to climb from August 2014. The next one, and then that was like a year ago in 2018, and now over there on the left, it's up to 94.75. So they're experiencing an inflation right now, and that's hard on the Haitians. We're still figuring out how to do it with $25 or $30 because we're bringing it in, we're transferring it into goods, and we're giving them goods. But what's the minimum wage in Haiti?
$5.26 a day.
Yeah. In goods.
Equivalent is in goods, but I don't know the goods.
Yeah. So it's whatever. Now, I'm curious. You should look that up. Was that that amount that it is in goods, was what year was that amount set?
That was a long time ago. That was, I was looking for salary stuff, so that would have been 2012 or 13.
Yeah, so their minimum wage is probably worth half of what it used to be. I just want to tell you the need is deep. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Brazil. I've been to Puerto Rico, I've been to a number of different countries, and I have seen need, but I've never seen the need like in your hometown. Joel, the fact that you and Sarah Joel go back there and strive so hard in that, it just touches my heart. Every time you come here, I just want to figure out how to bless you and how to do something for you and how to help you and how to feed you better. We took him to my favorite place, Greenfield, which is like a Brazilian barbecue and it's all meat. You know, just because I know you're going to go back and it'll be chicken and go, and you're happy with those things. And they're not a sad people, but they're sometimes a desperate people there. So please, we have abundance. We have much. And I'm just really bold. Darlene can't do this really good. Okay? But, darn it, God has blessed us so we can bless others. So what were you saying, Ron? So we can live his love before them, that they might know Jesus Christ, that they might be saved, that they might have eternal life. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. Thank you for the opportunity to love. And I do pray that Colossians 2 would be true, that our goal would be that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the story of God, namely Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.